Welcome to Wolf Den Saturday Set, where we are back on the tools for another week in what might be the greatest day of racing of the spring. Big call, but the fields are excellent at both Flemington and Randwick. They're very deep. A lot of work for us to do to unpack. I'm joined by two of the Den's finest, Dream Team Fizzer. How are you?
Good morning. How are you,
ready
boys?
To rip and roll?
G'day. Good to be back.
Yep. And the King Zone, he's taking a little bit of a breather. He will be our captain over the springtime, but just taking a little fresh night, which is well-deserved and nothing wrong with that. So you've got the big shoes to fill.
That's right. I'll do my best.
Yeah, you're well prepared.
Pretty prepared. Yeah, like both of us. I think we all sort of do a bit of form early, but then sort of keep an eye on things on the day.
Very good. Yeah. Well, why don't we get straight into it? We're going to start with our feature races. We've got four feature races to unpack from Flemington. Of course, we're going to start with the Turnbull Stakes, a 2,000 meter race, very deep field. Why don't you take it away, Dream Team? There's a lot of good horses there.
There are some good horses. There's some horses that failed last start, some horses that won impressively last start. Look, the Waterhouse horse, Elias, it's just sort of taken things by Australia by storm. I think it's 2 for 2 here. The record overseas is outstanding. And look, at $5, the market really, really respects what he's doing. Viv Sistina, we all thought he was one of Australia's best horses since it had arrived. Obviously, another overseas horse. A little bit disappointing last start. Well, very disappointing, to be fair. And then a horse like Buckaroo, who's just flying. From a punting point of view, I will give VS Sistina another chance.
Yes.
And I will make it an official Saturday
set tip. Get us off and going early.
I will. The 480 doesn't seem amazing. I don't know what's going to happen on the day, but I'll just monitor things. Look, just the way the track was last start, hard to make ground out wide, second up a bit flat. I will give it another chance, and I think we'll get around $5 to find out. For a class horse like that,
You think she's the best horse in the race?
I do. Heaps of respect for this new horse, Ilias. Like, it could be 13 from 11 or something like that after Saturday, so... Heaps of respect for it, but I'll give Via Sistina one more chance. Yeah,
very good. Fizz.
I had Elias top pick. Been on it. It's the first two starts in Australia, so got lucky there. It'll roll forward and sort of make its own luck in front, I think, and prove very, very hard to run down. A little bit wary of Buckaroo. Peak rating last start, and it sort of came out of nowhere, stepping up in distance. Look, went so well. Hard to knock it, but Via Sistina, I wrote Forgive. I thought Warmonger probably needs one more before we warm to it a little bit. There's a couple of roughies in the race that don't look so rough. I did mark down Young Werther and Hugh Tor's run and even Duke de Cesar, and I don't know, you're not getting massive odds about those. Very hard race. Elias top pick for me.
No worries, and there's 9 Group 1 winners amongst that lot. So,
yeah,
it's a great field. All right, we're going to move to the Danehill. So one of the great lead-up races for the three-year-olds, I should say, heading towards the Coolmore Stud Stakes, the race that everyone talks about when you've got a three-year-old. The absolute top liners aren't there, but you've got some really nice second liners. First set, La Reserve Bank. What do we make of it, boys?
Well, lead the way again. So you've got first settler, then it has the form around Growing Empire. And that's why punters are going to sort of swarm to that horse. Problem on Saturday is I think it was drawn perfectly last start. And then barrier one up the straight, sort of not normally a great thing at Flemington, even though they'll probably put the barriers out a little bit. For that reason, I'm going to go looking against first settler. And I've ended up on Reserve Bank, who was a soft winner last start, I think just at the provincials.
Yeah, Ballarat.
So drawn soft. Look, I think the 450 is sort of okay. Like, its ratings were through the roof, to be fair. Like, a really strong early speed and sort of one soft on the line. I could see it improving. It's a ripping race. And these are probably, for me, has the best form altogether, like beating Lady Camelot and stuff like that last preparation. So it, sort of at 850, I think it's sort of not a bad bet. Even a horse like Savagery Vibe was a really impressive win. So there's plenty of horses to sort of be against first settler, in my opinion, and Reserve Bank's my tip.
Okay.
Very good. Yeah, I had number one, Bitter Creek top pick. It's first up from a spell, trial with a win. Wouldn't say the trial was outstanding, but the trial was good enough. I did have first settler top pick, but like Matt said, pretty disappointed with barrier one, not that interested in getting involved. It's such a hard race. Aniza, hard to gauge after its two-year-old season. Trial was soft, but it didn't do much, so it worries me a little bit. And then I went and had a look at the Sydney horses. Bodyguards in trial was enormous. And then Tarpaulin's trial was quite nice as well. So there's a couple of things there. There's a lot of queries in this race, and I'll be interested to just maybe watch this race and not bet up this weekend.
Very good. All right, let's move to the Bart Cummings. So race seven, the last of the golden ticket races into the Melbourne Cup. And I guess a state of the times. The six of the seven in top of the market, I worked out, are horses that have come from overseas. So
yep.
Yeah, shows what's going on. Take it away, mate. Still a great field.
It is. Birdshire Breeze and a lot of these horses actually clashed last start. Point King did get the victory. Fitzy's horse that he was keen on, St. George, I'd be interested to see. That's a different form line, Fitz. Have you sort of, I know you're not that keen on the race. Any sort of thoughts?
Yeah, no, I looked at the run of it last start and I thought maybe it was just a little bit flat.
Yeah.
It looked like it had sprint in its legs first up and then maybe second up when it had the perfect run. I thought it was going to get over the top of him, if I have to be honest. And then it just didn't sprint. So maybe that step up in distance again now, maybe that's what it's after. 2,500 is a fair step up. I think it was 2,000 last start. So,
yeah.
Look, overseas ratings over that distance were quite good for it. So I'll give it a good hope.
Yeah, from my point of view, not a great race to bet. They've all got very similar sort of ratings. They went super fast last start. I mean, I don't know, like, who it's going to – I can't work out if they go slow who it's going to help this time. Mm-hmm. It's maybe like a horse like Post Impressionist was just out the back. Maybe it might have a bit more to come on. Not a race I'm getting super involved in, to be honest.
No worries. We'll keep rolling. So we're going to go to the Gilguy for the sprinters, and this is a massive field. Lots of chances. Look at that. It's not often you see like $6, $6, $7 the field.
Yep.
A lot of good horses there. A lot of horses knocking on the door, becoming Group 1 winner. Obviously, Magic Time is a Group 1 winner.
Yeah.
Deserves to be up the top there.
Yep.
What do we make of it?
Yeah, look, barrier one and a sort of dryish sort of track is a little bit of a reason to sort of look away from Magic Time. Having said that, $6 isn't the worst sort of gamble. For me, there's a few question marks about a lot of the horses. I just talked about Magic Time. I am Unstoppable has changed stables. They're trying to sort of reinvigorate him after we all thought he was going to be one of the better horses.
It's amazing what a difference the Ma tax makes, isn't it? First up for Ma at $6. If it wasn't with Ma, what price would it be?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Sharipa is a horse I've watched for a while. It's got the form around press down from last start in Adelaide. But I'm going back to just an old tried and tested theory. Right to party.
Bang.
Loves a straight. Drawn well. Forget last start. The track was wet. Gets everything back to sort of the stuff that he has been winning. I think he's won three. She won three in a row.
Yeah. Residual fitness from winter.
Absolutely. And just doesn't have the question marks of the other horses. And the bookies are going to give you sort of 6-1 and further to find out. So for me, Right to Party is a bit of a I reckon you might even get a better price, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's my tip. And I'm going to make it, stamp it, official Saturday set.
Tip. Love it. Fizz, talk to us, mate. Yeah, this looks like the race that you'd kind of like.
Yeah, not really. Straight racing is not not a huge fan, but Pressdown, I think, came out of the market just then.
Okay. It's out, is it? Right.
I'm with Matt. I think Magic Time's the best horse, but I can't be on it. I'd be looking for the straight horses, the horses that love the straight. Arkansas Kid, it got the wet track last start. Also was on a 7-day backup. I don't really want to be on it this time in. Right to Party, massive hope. I had Sharipa top pick. Ripcord brings a different WA form. Not sure about down the straight, but I tell you what, it's got a turn of foot. And Stratton Angel's won down the straight, and he's a good horse as well. So very open race. Sharipa top pick for me. Right to Party second pick.
All right, very good.
Mm-hmm.
We can move on. We're going to move up to Sydney now. We've got two races we're going to look at from Sydney. The first one is the Premier Stakes. Obviously a big lead up to the Everest. Pretty much the last serious lead up to the Everest is Crackerjack Field.
Yes.
Let's talk.
It's a small field, but, it's dominated by the first two in betting. I was going to say a quality field. There are lots of good horses there. Obviously, Bella Nipotina and Giga Kick are going to dominate as they deserve to be. They're sort of sort of have lots of Group 1 form. Think about it sort of resuming, and I guess a question mark about the distance for it first up. Marzu's noted as a wet tracker, and the rest are sort of massive odds. So just from what I saw last start, I think Bella Nipotina is the better value at $3 compared to $2.50 Giga Kick. I think Giga Kick is so short, obviously J-Mac, of course, but mm-hmm. it has trialed really well between runs. And I'm just like, I think that may be a little bit overplayed at this point. Of course he's going to trial well. He's a very good horse. So for me, another official tip, Bella Nipotina at $3.
On fire. Stamp it. I love that you got all these Saturday set tips in the big races.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
Yep.
There's quite a few things I want to talk about in terms of the Everest, and we'll mm-hmm. unpack that after we've got Fizz's thoughts on this race.
I actually had Bella top pick over Giga Kick just off the ratings. I still want to see Think About It do it. I know Joe Pride's quite keen on it first up, but I'm a little bit wondering where it'll get to in the run. And I want to see it perform again before mm-hmm. I could possibly back it, especially around the $4 mark. Marzu ran well on a dry track last start, actually, but again, like Matty said, probably well suited in the wet rather than the dry. Giga Kick's trial did take my eye. I backed it for the Everest after that trial, so I took $9 for the Everest. They took a slot, I think.
Yeah.
Someone gained Giga Kick this morning, which I'm very happy about.
So that's interesting. The ATC have taken Giga Kick now. I wonder if there was pressure on them to take it. Yeah, because you think that, you know, you'd want to wait until after the week and then see how it ran, but maybe Clayton Douglas.
I don't know. Maybe other people.
Plus, there's a bit of controversy because Joe Pryor, he's an ATC trainer.
Yep.
Why have they paid all this money for some horse trained by Clayton Douglas to take
this
spot?
That's what Joe Pryor's saying. He's saying that he thought maybe a bit of loyalty would have gone his way over the weekend. And anyway, that's what we like about Joe Pryor. He's not afraid to say what he thinks.
Great to see people in racing with a bit of personality and opinion.
Yeah.
Throw it out there.
Another thing I want to talk about, this is quite an amazing statistic. Do you know that a filly or a mare has never run the place in an Everest?
No, I never knew that.
Isn't that amazing?
How many run in the Everest?
Oh, a lot. And there's how old's the Everest? 8 or 9 years old. Mm. And never once has a filly or a mare run the place. So I found that extraordinary.
Yeah, so what, Bella then's right up against it then?
Well, and Sunshine in Paris as well. The mares sort of dominate it. But I think it'll be broken this year. But that was quite stunning when I heard that.
Yep. Okay.
No. Let's talk about other slot news. So Storm Boy is going to go in. What do you boys think about that? You think they pulled the right rein there, Coolmore and Gay? And
I don't have a huge opinion on it. I won't be backing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the early talk is that they're looking for the Everest is sort of looking for some pace runners, and it does fit that sort of category. Yeah. He's been doing a little bit of work wide his last few and missing the kick. So I guess that maybe gives him a chance, but a lot of people sort of don't think he's as good as we all thought he was.
Not the absolute top line.
But if you find an easy lead, you can get away with any sort of race.
Yeah.
So...
And the other news during the week, Lady of Camelot gets into a slot. You were surprised by that, Fizz? You don't think
I'm not sure she'd come back. Jury's right out for me.
Did set the world on fire last time, that's for sure.
And even first up at the Valley wasn't much chop. I think that was more related to the people who got the slot.
Sir Owen Glenn, who owns Lady of Camelot, has rendered the slot off James Harron. So it makes a bit of sense now what the play is. He probably just wants to
have a runner. Why not have a runner in the Everest,
That's how it'll work.
Why not? Especially if you can get the slot.
Yeah. All right. That'll do Everest talk. And now we're going to move to the easiest race of the day, the 2024 Epsom Handicap. What is it? 20 runners. You just, it's just easy, right? Put in, take out job.
Yeah.
There it is.
Maybe Fitz, you can inspire me with some analysis.
I really? Jeez, I looked at this and all I wrote at the top was impossible. Deep race. Look, I'm a Royal Patronage fan. I thought missing the kick last start cost us plenty. Deserves to be up the top of the betting, but geez, like there's plenty of horses in the betting here that have got serious ability, and I'm sure there's a few like Tom Kitten who maybe didn't have the best of runs last start, and there's other horses that get back behind the speed. My Oberon's run was enormous behind Fangirl. She came again on the line if you watch that race, Look, Royal Patronage top pick. My Oberon, I gave a good chance to. And, of course, CO Wolf, or however you say it. J-Mac off, which is a little bit scary, but its run was as good as any leading up into this race. So, the race is very, very thick with talent And I'll be interested to see if Maddie's identified one at odds or
it
something.
It is. I have got one at odds. It's massive odds. It's not even on the screen. It's called Berkshire Shadow. Mm-hmm. It's around $34, yep. Maybe a little bit better.
27, I think, now.
Is it 27? Okay, cool. Look, it was a huge run. It's, I think it was Newcastle last start. Checking yet Newcastle and has some form around Another Wheel. Mm-hmm. Now, from memory, Another Wheel, was it favourite in this race last year? Or was it the Doncaster? Yeah. Doncaster. So it's a good horse over a mile. And he carried 60 kilos. Sort of, it's just been sneaking around. Got a nice soft barrier. It's a tricky race. So at $34 or $27, I'm definitely Berkshire Shadow. It's Kieran Maher. Mm-hmm. And if that wins, you'll be seeing me cheering on Saturday, that's for sure.
And it's an official Saturday set tip.
It's an official Saturday set tip.
Good, man. Okay, well, we're moving along nicely. All right, well, that does us for the feature races. And before we shut off the feature races, a couple of things. We've got free AI on Saturday, of course, on the Victorian meeting. And we are good friends of the Melbourne Racing Club. They have given us free tickets to the Caulfield Guineas meeting. So we'll put the link to those tickets in the description, as always. You can get out and see, I think you just mentioned Another Wheel. Another Wheel will be racing Mr. Yep. Brightside on that day. And, of course, the new star on the scene, Broadsiding. So very generous of the MRC to do that for us. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Ladbrokes. Join Ladbrokes today and support the show by using the code Gallop. Take on the fun this spring carnival with the Ladbrokes app, loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, so you can see where the big bets land, yard comments to give you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring, and black book so you can add your favorite runners and get notified before they race. So take on the fun and Ladbroke it this spring carnival. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. And that takes us now to Saturday sets.
Yep.
So you've already given out quite a few. Do you want to just quickly run through
yep.
them again?
I'll circle back. So first of all, Via Sistina, race 8, it's the Turnbull.
Yep.
That's my tip there. Race 9, Right to Party.
Yep.
At Flemington as well. Moving forward, we've got race 7 at Randwick in the Premier, Bella Nipotina.
Yep.
Another one, race 9 in the Epsom, Berkshire Shadow. Mm-hmm. That's big odds. Okay, then my extra tips. I'm at Doomben now in race 5. Don't forget Jack. A lightly raced sort of galloper, gets a set of blinkers on. I think he's sort of I wouldn't say he's a star, but he's a really promising up-and-coming horse. So he's around $3.50. Yep, $3.50. I think it's a great bet. And then race 2, there's a horse called Redford, uh-huh. also at Doomben. Blew the start last time. Nice soft barrier. I don't think the price is good yet, but jump on at some point on Saturday.
Okay, outstanding. Fizzer. Yeah, your Saturday set, please.
Yeah, I'm very shy on tips this week. I looked through it a lot, and I found it really, really tough this weekend. So I'm betting very carefully myself. I think a few scratchings in some of these big fields might clear a few bets up for me. Okay, I'm going to go to Morfettville Race 7, Cararada. I say this horse was very stiff. I think I tipped it the other week. It ran, I think, fourth. It got knocked about, sat wide. It got hammered with about 50 to go or 100 to go when it was coming into it. I think $7 looks a very good bet for this weekend. And then I'm going to Kalgoorlie. I've got to try and get a short price favourite beat. Race 2, number 2, I like a horse called Decoration. This horse comes from Belmont. It's got to face a horse that's won its last couple at Kalgoorlie called Don't Wait for Luck, which has won very impressively. I think Decoration leads this race and could kick clear and actually be too strong for the other favourite. So quite keen on it and quite keen on the thing in Adelaide. But other than that, I think I'll find the racing this weekend a little bit tough, and I'm going to do a bit more on the Saturday rather than doing anything early. I'll throw them up on the den.
No worries. Well, let's move to the A-team. Let's see what they've got for us. So, Dan, oh, tipping a bit of roughy snow in May. Of course, that is Autumn Glow's race. Be a fantastic race. We go to Smalley 23. Wow, he loves tipping a roughy Smalley, so that's good to see. Junior Matt, Von Hock.
Mm.
All pretty decent price, aren't they?
Very good.
And, of course, Dream Team, you're in the hot seat. So
off the bench.
You're off the bench, yeah. So you're no longer in the A team. You're in the number ones.
Yeah, first grade.
First grade, that's right. let's move to accountability. So Saturday said accountability. Gee, the King Zone, that's why he needs to freshen up. He doesn't like that negative percentage on turnover, negative profit.
One winner, that's one or right. Two winners, he'll be right.
And Fizzy, you did okay last week?
Yeah, there's a couple of winners and a couple of seconds, actually. Yeah, so it wasn't too bad. It could have been even better, but, yeah. I'm happy. I'm still in the positives.
And here is the A-team accountability.
Yep, I'm one win away, the way I'm looking at it, getting into the positives. Yeah,
you could really jump. You could skyrocket.
It's moving day for me this week, isn't it?
Why do they call it moving day exactly? I don't quite get that.
Well, it's sort of just separating yourself from the pack. It's not the last day. It's just sort of like, it's a day to make your move.
So set yourself up. The contenders get separated.
Jump out of the pack and make yourself.
He gets more of a chance, though, this weekend because he's not just tipping one horse. He gets to throw a few up there.
That's right. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
So it's good.
Exactly.
Let's go to the best punters on the den. There it is there. Punter of the year accountability. So Extra Bacon. He's consistently up there, isn't he? Extra Bacon.
He is, mate. Yeah, he's up the top all the time.
Johnny Shamman doing well. He's got the Ivan Cleary. What do you call it?
Oh, he'd be excited about this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, huge weekend for Johnny Shamon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're looking forward to the NRL boys?
I am, yeah. It's a great contest, the best two teams all year.
Yeah.
And just with the injury cloud over Cleary.
Yep.
Definitely brings Melbourne right in. I think Melbourne can maybe pip him.
So your tip's Melbourne?
Yeah. Yep.
What about you, Fizz?
Yeah, I'm not excited about the game because I don't really care about Melbourne or Penrith, but I am tipping Melbourne to beat Penrith this year. I think just that extra bit of, like will to win over a team that's won its last three. I think that Melbourne are the team that are looking better in attack, I think, if I have to say anything else. I reckon that they're the ones to beat.
And we were down in Melbourne last week. We had a great little weekend, didn't we? You went to the AFL Grand Final. You were fired up for it, but it was a bit of a non-event in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very disappointing. Kings and I left at three-quarter time.
Did you really? Yeah.
It was pretty hard to stay. It was so dominant the second quarter.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good game to watch. No. It wasn't a good game to be at.
Every time the ball went up Brisbane's end, there were just three or four spare players.
It was unbelievable how one-sided it was. And unfortunately, because I would have loved to see a good game, I could have happily lost, but in a close game. Not so much in the games like it was on the weekend. The one-way traffic games seem to be quite boring. I hope NRL's a close one.
Yeah. And we had a great night at the Valley Friday night. We were there for Manukato. We did the live stream, which was
We met a lot of really famous faces, people that I've seen and known on Twitter for a while. Got to meet them in the flesh. We had fun.
And what about the King Zone? Was almost famous himself there, wasn't he? People coming up. And you too, people recognised you.
Everyone kept calling him, there's Wolfie.
Yeah.
So
he was spinning out a bit. He looks at me and goes, it's kind of weird when people look at you and don't know who they are.
Yeah.
It's all come very quickly for him. Fame
and fortune.
And the pot, we was a little bit disappointed. We got off to a fantastic start. But
we did, 2 for 2 early. I think we were up about 70 grand. Mm-hmm. And then, no luck after that.
No, I mean, I think there's a bit of criticism from people about the way we handle it. Fair enough, no problem.
I think when the maximum buy-in was $25, I think we sort of, I think most people treat it as a bit of fun. So we did our best, obviously.
Yeah, and we'll be back for Cox Plate. We'll definitely listen to what people have said to us and we might refine things a little bit before the next time we do it. But that's a good concept.
It's got to be remembered that it was a collaboration of people too.
Yeah.
Tim Nackey got a tip in the last and we decided to run with that one in the last, even if it wasn't our top pick. So. At the end of the day, I think next time we might run it a little bit differently, but, get involved still. I reckon that it'll be a success. We'll get a big fat day out of it at one stage soon.
Cox Plate Day will be fantastic, and it's certainly not about us, is it? We're trying to set this up so the best punters in Australia can come and tip to all of you because, we don't think we're the best punters in Australia.
I think we had the last favourite going for almost 180 grand, so we're only one tip away from a fill-up.
Yeah, very good. And on the night, Southport Tycoon won. And our good friends at Ladbrokes, they put this little piece together on Bennett Racing. So Nathan Bennett heads up Bennett Racing. And I just thought it was really cool. They did it just before Southport Tycoon won. So it's pretty cool to watch. Considering that Southport Tycoon was so impressive in winning the Manukato.
Yep.
And as I always like to do, I like to leave you with a bit of a pump up. So I will leave you with this. Get ready for Saturday. It's going to be an enormous day. We're going to do a Saturday session. I'm in negotiations with the boys. I want to do 13 races on the day. I think we just have to do it. The racing is that good. Fizz has not agreed to it yet. But Fizz, can we get you to agree now that we've got to do
13 races? I'm not agreeing. 13 races, outrageous.
Yeah. But anyway, enjoy this from Nathan Bennett and Ladbrokes. It's really cool to get us pumped up, and we'll see you on Saturday. Can't wait. Up the Den. Thank you very much.
I mean, how many Group 1s do you think you can win this year?
Barrett Hill in front, and Barrett Hill. Big, big win.
Stay focused, takes the lead.
More Tycoon takes the lead. Another Group 1.
It is the passion. Yeah, you're driven by a passion of horse racing. Yeah, I love it. The owners' smiles on their faces when you win a race. It's a very good feeling.
Nathan Bennett in the middle of hugs, emotional scenes.
Left school, I ended up becoming an electrician. Started a form website called Bennett's Best Bets. A group of guys on there said we should get a horse together, which was 100% who ended up a handy horse.
Right down the outside, 100%, a terrific go, 100%. It'll win for sure.
That sort of kicked things off, and that's where Bennett Racing started. We thought we'll do a Bennett Racing spring launch day. It went from about 100 people to 160 very quickly.
The personalisation that Nathan adds to the syndication is key to why they're so successful. He's very involved, and everybody here in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'd say there'd be a lot of handshakes. There'd be a fair few beers.
People like Nathan are able to bring this to people with affordability. And school teacher in Cairns and a plumber in Hobart, you can own the next Mackayby Deep.
We've got a lot of horses heading towards big races, which is what it's all about. Southport Tycoon is heading towards a Golden Eagle.
Bennett Racing, Kieran Maher, take out the guineas with Southport Tycoon.
Stay Focused will head towards Coolmore.
And Stay Focused takes the lead and ran away by 2 lengths.
Then we've got Faulkner Park heading towards Caulfield Cup, possibly a Melbourne Cup. He means the world to us because these are the horses that put you on the map. The way he won that race in the Q22 was quite scintillating how he did it.
And they're all in, racing now.
We've seen time and time again, you know, without a fight, incentivise Zaki, all come through that Brisbane Carnival and turn into, you know, top-class horses.
Faulkner Park down the outside, and here comes Faulkner Park. Faulkner Park out wide, stormed up and grabbed the lead. And Faulkner Park won brilliantly.
Been lucky to have a few horses that are proper Group 1 horses, and he's given me every indication that he's going to follow suit.
We're all in it together, Bennett Racing. It's not just about Faulkner Park, but it's about all of us. We're so proud because this will be part of history.
Everyone's quite excited, and you just got to sort of keep a lid on it, but that's what it's all about. You've got a dream, don't you? Dreams are free.